Hi, everybody. Welcome to March the 12th and 2024. We're having a great time here. I am in a different venue today. Actually, this week I'll be in a different venue when I am recording. You can see the trees behind me. It's been rainy the last few days here in Reading, and I guess it's going to start being sunny and warm in the 80s starting tomorrow. Well, I'm here today, and I want to share a couple things. First of all, I was feeling in my heart, I was feeling in my heart that there are surprises that are about to take place. The Holy Spirit is going to surprise us, shock us, actually, in the surprise that we're about ready to do. I want to share this, that this morning I was driving a vehicle. And supposedly it was supposed to have been fixed. The leak in the roof of this vehicle was supposed to have been fixed. Well, yesterday was fine. So I'm driving this vehicle today. And sure enough, I make a right-hand turn. And this is like really weird because it was on the opposite side of where it should have leaked. But I made a right-hand turn, and the right side of the vehicle was just a downpour of water. Then I made a left-hand turn. And the left-hand turn, I drove a few miles, and then the left-hand turn, I got soaked. I was in a driver's seat. I was on the left-hand side, and I got soaked. To me, it was a sign that, other than being an annoyance, it was a sign for me that that God is going to bring surprises. The Holy Spirit is pictured in the Bible by water, okay? And then I believe that we are coming into a season. You and I are coming into a season of surprises. I have a friend in Malawi. Her name is Tenille. Tenille Out Loud, or Living Out Loud, is her ministry. She's been working down there for a number of years. If you want to support her, she only takes support from Facebook donations. So donate to her through Facebook. Tenille Jane, Jayne. She's a tremendous woman. Tremendous woman of faith. Okay, I'm going to be having interruptions with the internet today because of the weather. But anyway, she's building a school. She's taking care of kids. She's been doing it for a number of years. Tremendous woman of faith. So I just wanted to bless her with a shout out this morning. Anyway, I want to go to John, the 19th chapter. So get ready for your surprise. Get ready for the Holy Spirit surprise. Get ready for a Holy Spirit surprise on you. John 19. Then Pilate ordered Jesus to be brutally beaten with a whip of leather straps embedded with metal. All right, there was bone, metal, stone, and the purpose of it was to be, it was called the scorpion in flogging, and the purpose of it was to open your skin, was to, it was known to open your skin, take the bone off, take the flesh, the muscle off the bone, sinew all the way down to the bone, and very few people have survived this flogging. Jesus did, because remember, Jesus didn't give his life up yet. He didn't say, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," nor did he say, "It is finished." We'll get into that later. Many people say, "Well, God can't be a good God because he had his son brutally beaten. He had to sacrifice his son." Well, actually, Jesus was the one that gave his life up so that we can be forgiven of sins and come into relationship with Jesus. We come into relationship with the Father. So he was beaten with this thing, and the soldiers wove thorn branches into a crown and set it onto his head and placed a purple robe over his shoulder. The color purple symbolized royalty. If Jesus was going to say that he was king of the Jews, guess what? They were going to make him a king. They put this crown of thorns, because he's a king, they're going to put this crown of thorns on his head. Now, the thorns were about 2 inches long, so imagine them getting embedded in his skull, in his forehead. It was just blood, a bloody mess after bloody mess, okay? And then one by one, they came in front of him to mock him by saying, "Hail the King of the Jews." And one after another, they repeatedly punched him in the face or slapped him in the face. And Jesus would turn the other cheek and they would slap him again. He was wounded, Isaiah 53 says, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was laid upon him. He took all of this with you in mind. Now, when they put that purple robe on him, the body was made to heal. Okay, your body was made to heal. And Jesus' body, the blood, the sinew, the muscle, the flesh, started to grab around this purple robe as he was beaten. And Jesus was now, like Isaiah 53 says, he was unrecognizable. And once more, Pilate went out, verse 4, and said to the Jewish officials, "I bring him out once more so that you know that I found nothing wrong with him." Why was he beaten if Pilate found nothing wrong with him? It was to appease the Jews. He was ruling over Israel at the time as governor, and he was trying to just keep the peace. So then Jesus emerged, verse 5, bleeding, wearing the purple robe and crown of thorns on his head. Pilate said, one version says, "Behold the man." Pilate said, "Look at him. Here is your man. Look at him." Now, in this kind of situation, his face was swollen. His body was swollen. The blood was he was in shock. And this robe was catching onto, grabbing a hold of that purple robe. And no sooner did the high priests and temple guards, and here is another fallacy that the Jews had, was that they had two high priests at the time, Annas and Caiaphas. And you're only allowed to have one. And no sooner had these high priests and the temple guards see Jesus that they all shouted in a frenzy, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They were shouting it. They wanted him dead. And Pilate replied, "You take him then and nail him to the cross yourselves. I told you he's not guilty. I find no reason to condemn him." My question is, why didn't Pilate just let him go? He broke a Jewish law, supposedly. Had nothing to do with Rome. And then the Jewish leaders shouted back, "But we have the law, and according to our law, he must die." In Leviticus 24:16, if anybody makes them out to be son of God, or the same as God, he is to be stoned to death. I'm going to go there. Leviticus 24. Leviticus 24:16. "Moreover, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death." all the congregation, here it is, shall certainly stone him, the alien as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death. Well, they didn't stone him. They wanted him crucified. I don't know why. He must die because he claimed to be the Son of God. Now, Pilate was greatly alarmed. Okay, we're in verse 8 now. Pilate was greatly alarmed. The word actually means his soul collapsed when he heard that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. So he took him back inside and said to him, "Where have you come from?" But once again, silence filled the room. He said nothing. Perplexed, Pilate said, "Are you going to play deaf? Don't you know that I have the power to grant you your freedom or nail you to a tree?" I got to tell you how brazen of him. Let's go to Isaiah 53. I feel like I need to read this. Verse 1, "Who has believed our report?" Who has believed this? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and a root out of a parched land. He had no stately form or majesty that we should look on him. Remember, he was beaten. His face is swollen. Nor did his appearance be that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. This talking about the crucifixion had not yet been invented yet. Psalm 22 talks about it. And Jesus answered Pilate's phrasing of this, "Don't you know that I have the power to grant you your freedom?" Well, if he had the power, why didn't he do it? And Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me at all unless it was given to you from above." You would have no power unless it was given to you from above. This is why the one who betrayed me is guilty of even a greater sin. The person who handed him over, the person who betrayed him. And obviously, you know, people think it was just Judas. Well, Caiaphas handed him over, betrayed him to Pilate as well. And I believe that Caiaphas here is the one that Jesus is referring to. And in fact, it was an evil spirit that controlled Pilate at this point. It was an evil spirit that controlled Pilate at this point, moving the hearts of everybody involved to crucify Jesus. See, the devil was trying to get rid of Jesus, thinking if I can crucify Jesus, everything would be fine. But the Jewish authorities shouted him down. Or he wanted him to be set free, but the Jewish authorities shouted him down. "And if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who declares himself a king is an enemy of the emperor." Now, this is hilarious because they wanted to be freed from Rome's tyranny. They wanted to be free from it. But now they're saying, well, you know, we are friends of Caesar's. So when Pilate heard this threat, he relented and had Jesus, who was torn and bleeding, brought outside. And then he went up the elevated stone platform and took his seat on the judgment bench, which in Aramaic is called Gabbatha, or the bench. It was on the side of the house, and it was almost noon. And it was the same day that they were preparing this feast. And Pilate said, and it was the same day they were preparing to slay the Passover lambs. Jesus is that Passover lamb. Pilate said to the Jewish officials, "Look, here is your king." And they screamed out, "Take him away. Take him away and crucify him." And then Pilate replied, "Shall I nail your king to a cross?" The high priest answered, "We have no other king but Caesar." They're denying God. And Pilate handed Jesus over to them. So the soldiers seized him and took him away to be crucified. Now, earlier in 19, what we'll talk about is crucifixion tomorrow. But earlier in 19, we found out that Jesus was flogged. He was whipped 39 times. You were only allowed to do it 39 times. You couldn't do it any more than that. That was the death sentence, and you couldn't. And if you survived that, then you couldn't be beaten again. So they only keep it at 39 times. So they have people counting. He was beaten 39 times. I don't know if you've seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ. Parts of it I agree with immensely. Other parts I disagree. Some of them were not scriptural. But the fact of the matter was the crucifixion was. And when they beat him, Jim Caviezel, when they took the whip, they whipped him and it actually went around his padding and hit him in the side, took his breath away. Imagine what Jesus went through for you. I want you to think today. I don't know if you're born again or not. You need to be born again. You need to be born again. You need to have Jesus in your life. You need to be saved. Jesus took the punishment of the cross for you. The Romans were not nice. The Jews were not nice here. It wasn't a symbol or a statue that you look at and go, "Isn't that beautiful?" It was nasty. It was flipping nasty. Come back to reality, people, and realize that Jesus died so that you can live. It's a powerful thought. God loves you, and he cares about you. In a minute, we're going to give you an invitation to give your life to Jesus. I want to tell you that my ministry, Tom and Sarah, my YouTube channel, my podcast, my Instagram, I have 90 seconds of hope on my Instagram reels. All those pages are geared to blessing and honoring Jesus. Even my TikTok page, I do that and just honor Jesus. And the thing is, and I want you to help out with this ministry. I believe God wants you to. And if God's asking you or telling you to give into this ministry, contact me, TomInSarah@Outlook.com. TomInSarah@Outlook.com. It's my name at Outlook.com. And I'll get you the Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, Zelle addresses to give into. I'm writing three books right now. One of them is a sequel to SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God. It's a devotional geared to 5 to 10 minutes a day. Another book I'm writing is called Our Identity and Coming into Soul Health. And my third book I'm writing is, and I'm taking turns every day writing each one, but that a third one is called, Moments with Jesus. And it's something that you can read in your meditation times. And and I strongly urge you to get those. You can, to help out, if you could help out in those, copywriting them, getting them printed, all that stuff, getting them published. Costs money. It's about $3,000 a book. The other thing is, if you want to, I'm going to be going to school next year. It's called the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. I'm gonna give a little testimony on how I got there. I was going to an open house that they had, and my goal for going was simply to get ministered to by the Lord. And in the middle of it, it wasn't audible, but it was like it could have been audible, but I didn't feel like it was. But he said, I want you to come to the school. Well, that threw me for a loop. I didn't know what to do. So I applied, I got accepted, and it's really, really cool that I was able to do that. So if you want to help me out, it's $5,600 to get to the school. I have 140 already. So it's $5,460 to go to school. And if you want to give into that, feel free. Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com, and I'll tell you how to do that. You can get my books, SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God, and From Breakdown to Breakthrough, My Journey to Soul Health. My Journey to Soul Health, and it has resources on soul health. In there, you can get those from me for a donation of $20 or more. You get both of those books shipped to you. And or you can get them from Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, or walmart.com. All right. Well, God bless you guys. We'll pick up with the crucifixion tomorrow. But today, I want to say, today is your day. Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, endured the suffering, that we may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Part of his sufferings are betrayal. Have you ever felt betrayed? Part of his sufferings were quote unquote being stabbed in the back. Have you ever felt like that? Having family members push you aside. Jesus went through all of that. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He already took the cross for us. We don't have to do the cross. We take up our cross daily and follow him. I have been, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself up for me. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but of everlasting life. In Romans, he says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, wow, we shall be saved. There's no other name given under heaven by where we must be saved. But Jesus is that name. Give your life to him. Just pray this prayer. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for the cross. I thank you that you died in my place. I give you my life. I surrender everything to you in Jesus' name. Take me and save me. Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. And I believe, God, that you raised him from the dead 3 days after. Hallelujah. Now I'm free from sin and I'm free to live free. Free to live for you. Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, let me know. Tom and Sarah at outlook.com or leave a message here in the comments that you did that. And God bless you. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.